Hello, and welcome to the Killing Zone podcast. If you've been here before, welcome back. If this is your first time, welcome. My name is Lindsay, and I like to dive into the strange and unknown. During this podcast, I will tell you stories of murder, deceit, and the macabre. Strap in and get ready for the Killing Zone. Today's episode, we will be discussing the story of Ivan Milot, the backpack killer, known as one of Australia's worst serial killers. Warning, some of the contents in this podcast are graphic and not suitable for all listeners. Listener discretion is advised. It was a spring day, September 1992, New South Wales, Australia, when two trail runners discovered the decomposing bodies of Carolyn Clark and Joanne Walters at the Belengo National Forest. Their bodies had been buried under sticks and leaves. Over the next month, five more bodies would be uncovered here. Little did anyone know at the time that this was the work of Ivan Milot, the backpack killer. This is his horrendous story. Ivan Milot was born December 27th, 1944, in Goldford, New South Wales, Australia. His father was a Croatian immigrant and laborer named Stephen Milot, and his mother was Australian. Her name was Margaret Piddleston. Married to Stephen when she was only 16 years old. Ivan was the fifth of 14 children. He lived in Bossley Park, Sydney, New South Wales for an early part of his life before his family transported to Liverpool. The Milot boys were well known by the local police while growing up. At the young age of 13, Ivan displayed a very antisocial behavior, which had led to a cruel stunt he pulled in residential school. By the time Ivan was 17, he was already serving time in juvenile detention for theft, and at the age of 19, he had robbed a local shop, which he was sentenced to 18 months for breaking and entering. Just 1 month after serving time, he was arrested for grand theft auto and was sentenced to 2 years of hard labor. Then, at the age of 22, he was sentenced to 3 years in jail, again for grand theft auto. But we would soon discover that petty theft and auto theft did not satisfy Ivan. He longed for something more sinister. Kidnap, rape, and murder. It was April, 1971, when Ivan abducted two 18-year-old hitchhikers. He then sexually assaulted one of them. While he was awaiting his trial for this, he became involved in a string of robberies with some of his brothers. He then faked a suicide and ran off to New Zealand for an entire year. In 1974, he was arrested again for robbery, but was never convicted of the kidnapping and rape charges. This was because they failed trial with the help of the Milot family lawyer, John Marston. By 1975, Ivan took up a job as a truck driver and also worked with the Roads and Traffic Authority for 20 years before being arrested for his future acts of horror. In 1984, Ivan had married a woman who was 15 years younger than him. However, this marriage did not last very long. It was ended when Ivan burned down his wife's parents' home located in Newcastle. Later, during the trials, his ex-wife would testify against him, stating that he was known to be very violent and that he was obsessed with his guns. Even before the first of Ivan's victims had been found, a slew of backpackers were reported missing in the Belengo National Forest since 1989. The first two of Ivan's victims were found on September 19th, 1992. This happened when two trail runners stumbled upon a concealed corpse, face down in the dirt with their hands tied behind their back. These two victims were identified via dental records. They were the British backpackers Carolyn Clark, age 21, and Joanne Walters, age 22. They had last been seen months before in April on their way to Victoria to go fruit picking. In their autopsy report, it confirmed that the two had been brutally slaughtered. Clark had been blindfolded and marched into the bush execution style. Then she was shot 10 times in the head. It was believed that Ivan used her body for target practice. Walter had been stabbed a total of 14 times, 4 times in the chest, once in the neck, and 9 times in the back, which severed her spine. Police had suspected that there have been more bodies and searched the same area, but were unable to find anything. But in October 1993, a local man had been in the area looking for firewood when he discovered human bones located in the remote part of Bablango National Forest. When he returned with the police, they uncovered 2 more bodies. These were identified as a couple who had gone missing in 1989. Deborah Everest, age 19, and James Gibson, age 19. Gibson had been found in a fetal position with many stab wounds. These wounds were so deep that his lungs had been punctured and spine severed. Everest was beaten. Her head and jaw were fractured. She also had 1 stab wound in her back. The location of the teenagers confounded police as their belongings had been found in December 1989, 75 miles away from where their bodies had been found. In November 1993, just a month after finding Gibson and Everest, another skeleton was found in a clearing along the fire trail in the forest. These remains were identified as the missing German backpacker Simone Schimmel, age 21. Ivan had also stabbed her so deeply that her spine had also been severed. During the same search in November 1993, on a nearby trail, police discovered 2 more bodies. These were the German travelers Gabor Nubaro, age 21, and Anja Helschmid, age 20. These 2 backpackers had been missing 2 years prior. Helschmid had been decapitated, and police had never been able to find her skull. Neuberger had been shot in the head 6 times. And I do apologize if I messed up the names of those hitchhikers. The local authorities were shocked by all the carnage. They had seen nothing like this before. Soon, the killing had made the news. The media dubbed these homicides the backpack murders. They considered that the killer was targeting tourists that were hitchhiking their way through Australia. Ivan had racked up a total of 7 victims, but it is believed that there could possibly be more, even though no other bodies have been discovered. Police counted that between 1989 and 1992, the killer had made a killing every 12 months. Young backpackers were his target of choice, both men and women, whom he picked up as they were hitchhiking for a ride from Sydney to Melbourne. The media frenzy soon brought up past reports about the Malotte boys who were known to have firearms and lived about an hour away from the Bablango Forest. But police did not have evidence that would be able to warrant a search of the Malottes or their property where Ivan was living with his mother. There were many people calling in with tips, but the news from a British man named Paul Onions, who had backpacked around Australia years prior, brought a light to the investigation. Paul told police that a man had tried to kill him during his travels that he believed was the same man responsible for the backpack murders. Paul had told police that the man introduced himself as Bill and had offered him a lift while he was backpacking along the highway. But he grew suspicious when the driver had pulled off the road. He said that the man had stopped his car in a secluded area miles away from the highway, where he pulled out a gun and rope. Paul reacted by undoing his seatbelt and running out of the car. He said that the driver had fired shots at him as he tried to run across the Hume Highway. Paul was able to flag down a woman who was driving down the highway, and she was able to help him escape. He stated that the local police waved off the incident and forgot about it until the backpack murders started to turn up. It was at this time police flew Paul from London to Sydney to identify the man that had tried to kidnap him. Police presented him with 13 photos of suspects. Paul chose the 4th suspect, Ivan Malotte. 2 women who were able to escape also identified Ivan as the suspect who had tried to kidnap them as well. Together with Ivan's 1971 rape charge from 2 female backpackers, police believed they had found their killer. They placed an intercept on the Malott's Sydney home, which was owned and shared between Ivan, his sister, Shirley Sherrar, who many people believe was involved in the murders as well. The youngest of the Malott brothers even told police that he believed that Shirley was involved. Ivan and his sister allegedly had sexual relationships with each other since the 1950s. On May 22, 1994, police investigated the Malott home where Ivan had laughed and mocked the lead negotiator, as if all of it were a joke. During a search of the home, police found a postcard from someone from New Zealand who had referred to Ivan as Bill. They also found the same firearm cartridges and electrical tape that were at the murder scenes. Police also found Indonesian currency. Ivan had never been to Indonesia, but victims Neubarger and Hashbid had been there before they traveled to Australia. Police also found backpacking items around the house and inside the walls of the home. The items that had been found matched belongings of several victims. On July 27, 1996, after 18 weeks of trial, Ivan Malott was sentenced to 7 years to life sentence, one for each of his victims found in Belengal National Forest. He also got 6 more years for the abduction of Paul Onions. To this day, police remain unsure as to whether they have uncovered all of Ivan's victims. They suspect that there may be more victims out there, as they have a slew of missing person cases dating back to the early 1970s. They believe these missing persons could have been killed by Ivan. In 1997, Ivan teamed up with a convicted drug dealer in an attempt to escape from prison, which failed, and the drug dealer hung himself the next day. Ivan tried to remain innocent until the day he died. He worked on a crusade to clear his name from the very first day that he stepped foot in jail. He wrote letters to reporters and newspapers claiming that he was innocent. He even wrote the NSW Supreme Court, the DNA review panel, and the Attorney General office asking for review of his trial. He told them that he could cut his finger off with a plastic knife and mail it to them so they could help him appeal his case. Eventually, after years in custody, Ivan was diagnosed with esophageal cancer and moved to a medical ward of Long Bay Correctional Center for chemotherapy. He died from cancer on October 27, 2019. He was 74 years old. The case of Ivan Malott inspired the popular horror movie film Wolf Creek. Wolf Creek is a real-life popular tourist site located in Western Australia. But the killings in the movie are not real, just inspired by Ivan Malott, the backpack killer. Ivan's murderous tendencies did pass on to another generation of the family. In 2012, Ivan's great-nephew, Matthew Malott, and his friend, Cohen Klein, were both sentenced to 43 years in prison for the murder of their classmate, David Arcelloni, on his 17th birthday. Matthew and Cohen lured David into the Belengal forest with the promise of smoking weed and drinking. Instead, he was murdered with an axe in the same forest where Matthew's great uncle took the lives of many people decades ago. It was also said that Matthew idolized his great uncle Ivan and wanted to be just like him. Well, killers, that's the story of Ivan Malott, the backpack killer. If you ever find yourself walking along the side of a highway and someone offers you a ride, just say no. You never know what kind of horror you can get into by stepping into someone's car or just by taking up the offer from a friendly stranger. That's it for now. Thank you so much for listening to this episode. I hope you return to listen to the next episode of The Killing Zone. This is Lindsay signing off. Stay healthy and stay happy, killers.